Kilo Echo 8 Uniform Six.
NADBF and Tunnel Test after the car wash.
Sounds like it's still attached to me. W8RC1. Good morning, it's Friday.
It was comforting hearing that carrier. That was the first time I took this this antenna and truck set up through that car wash, and I saw it moving around quite a bit, but it looks like it made it. Good morning, Donald. How are you?
I'm good. It's Friday, you know. You just got your car washed just because you're going to, you know, you guys are going out to lunch today. You want to show up in a nice, clean car. That's all. You want to be like, you know, the belle of the ball, so to speak.
Well, I've got to show them a sweet new antenna setup on it, but no, I haven't washed this thing in probably almost a month, so I had a good layer of salt and mud on it.
Well, if I can only do my laundry that way, I haven't done laundry since before Christmas, and I'm not out of stuff yet, but if I don't do it by, let's say, Monday, I might do it Sunday because there's really nothing much going on, but, you know, boring football games because the Lions are off. I'll be doing laundry for a couple days, and then I'm going to Daytona for two weekends in a row for the 24-hour race next weekend. Not the 18th, but the 25th is the race. The 18th, I have to go down there for test sessions and stuff.
I don't think I have enough clothing to go that long, but good thing you're going to Florida, man. It's cold out here.
I checked the weather yesterday. I set my phone up for the weather when I get down there, and yesterday was 55, and as of next Friday, it's going to be in the 60s. So it looks like race weekend, the 25th and all, because I'll be down there the 18th and the 25th, those two weekends. I'll be gone for 4 days, and 5 days actually, but yeah. Looking into race, going into the race weekend on the 25th, it's looking dry, so that's all that matters, dry weather.
60 degrees and no rain, that's shorts and t-shirt weather in my book.
Flip-flops too, but unfortunately I can't wear flip-flops, I can't wear shorts, and I have to wear a dress shirt, so it's not a polo shirt or a t-shirt. It's kind of like a uniform kind of a thing. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't done it in over 2 years, and because of my health and stuff and other things, and now I'm doing it for one more year. I'm doing 7 events, and then I'm going to be done with it, because, I mean, this time next year I'll be 69, and I just can't do it like I used to, so. But I did it for over 30 years, so I had fun.
Are you working? Are you working at communications? Is this volunteer work, or what are you doing down there?
Race control and operations, it is non-paid, but there's a lot of nice perks, like they stick you on a plane, put you up in a hotel, give you a rental in some cases. If not, like Daytona, you're just going to get a golf cart, because the hotel that we're staying at is right off turn 4 at Daytona, and you can practically walk. But back in the day, yeah, there were more perks and things like that, but they only want me for my brain and my knowledge. The rest of me, they don't care. They'll prop me up on a wooden pole and say, just stand in the corner, do your job, and we'll leave you alone. We'll feed you coffee for 24 hours. I'm not up for 24 hours, but during the race, I can grab a nap and grab a bite to eat and fresh air and stuff. But, you know, and, you know, like I say, it's people think I go down there and have fun and watch the race. No, I'm actually down there working, and or anywhere, even here in Michigan. You know, I've done races here on Belle Isle. you're actually doing a job, and there's a lot of responsibility, and safety is number one priority over amongst anything else.
So it's basically a volunteer service, but it's all expenses paid.
Yeah, kind of like that. I mean, there are officials that are, you know, like my boss, Bo Barfield. He gets paid, but he's the race director of the series, and he works all 15 events. I'm only working the longer endurance races, a 24, a 12, a 10, a pair of sixes and an eight, and then there's the roar before the 24, which is the spring training test session. They've been testing all winter, but it's the last shakedown before the race next weekend, the following weekend, the 21st or the 25th. So it's like it's the last shakedown test. It's where they set up things such as the balance of performance, because it's five classes of racing going on at once for 24 hours. And I think the car count's 62 or 63 cars this year. Last time I looked at it, I haven't looked at all the close stuff yet.
It's still cool that you're involved though, and you get to do this. Especially if you're into racing. Is this NASCAR then?
The sanctioning body is known as IMSA, International Motorsports Association, and they do endurance racing here in America, and then there's another one over in Europe called WEC, W-E-C, which stands for World Endurance Challenge. And if you've heard of the 24 Hours of Le Mans in France, it's the famous race here in America, is known as the 24 Hours of Daytona or the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona. And all the winning drivers and all the classes all get Rolexes. So that's a pretty cool little trophy to have. And there's people that have, you know, seven to eight Rolexes in their home trophy case.
God, I hope to have one day. So it's not sanctioned by NASCAR, but they're same cars, stock cars.
No, they're all full body race cars. Some of them are prototypes, meaning one-off purpose-built race cars, and then the other class is called GT, and that's where you have what looks like a stock car, but it's built for road course racing more though than oval-type high speeds. You have Acuras. God, there's so many different classes now. There's more classes of automobile and GT racing than there is in prototype. Cadillac's involved in prototype. Chevrolet is. The Chevrolet Corvettes are for GT racing. Just type in IMSA.com and, on your computer one night, and you can see and read up all about it.
I was going to say, I'm going to have to check this out because I've never heard of it. I've seen, like, the YouTube stuff where they put together, like, YouTubers will put together endurance races, but nothing formal and this organized or this big.
Oh, yeah, the YouTubers, you know, they have the 24-hour lawn tractor race, you know, and the 24-hour... snowmobile races and things like that. You know, there's all kinds of things, but, you know, this is the big show here. And just in about a little over a month from now, you'll have the NASCAR race, the big Daytona 500. But endurance racing is 24 hours or whatever the time is, 24, 12, 10, whatever. And they just go nonstop, regardless of the conditions, unless one year we had a really bad downpour. I think it was in 2018 they had to stop the race. The track Daytona actually flooded in some areas, so they had to stop the race. But, yeah, twice around the clock is what it is. 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon till 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. They race through the night.
I couldn't do it. I was way too long behind the wheel.
Oh, yeah, in endurance racing, there are driver teams. There's 3 and 4 driver teams per car. No, there's no way. there's no way that can be done because of the I mean, these drivers are more fit than horse jockeys are, you know, and you know, they're better, they're in better shape than NASCAR drivers or even IndyCar drivers. They're built to do these things, and you know, you got the biggest challenge is when you got four drivers and they're not all the same size. Because when they do driver changes, they have to put seat inserts in or take a seat inserts out, and you know, because each driver is, you know, individual needs. You don't have time to change pedals or steering wheel adjustments or anything. So that's what they're doing now, and that's what they'll be doing a week from now on the 18th. That's the final prep. That's where all the other stuff is done. But it's insane. Like I say, if you look at it and you understand, they just had a special on last weekend about it. It's on YouTube, and it was like a what IMSA is all about. And it's about an hour-long special, and it's pretty interesting. It's very informative, and it's just a world class form of racing, and you bring in drivers from all over the world. Plus, you have female drivers, women in motorsports right now is becoming really, really big. There's a lot of women that are driving. There's a lot of women that are engineers and mechanics, and like I say, I could sit here. And I'm just going to shut up because I know Sean wants to probably get in here and say good morning, but or anybody else. I'm not going to tie up the channel, but yeah, IMSA.com. Or look on YouTube under the IMSA channel, IMSA, and you'll see it. And you got nothing to do for an hour, watch it. You'll learn a lot.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I'm always screwing around on YouTube, so I'll look that up because it sounds very interesting. And I'm a big fan of Danica Patrick, so I'm all for women in motorsports.
There's 19, 20, 21-year-old female drivers in Europe that are climbing the ladder rather fast in all forms of motorsport. But, yeah, it's not just they're doing the driving. Like I said, they are mechanics. They go over the wall. They fuel a car. They change the tires. There are data acquisition gals in there now that do all that kind of stuff. It's amazing the amount of women in there now. It just blows my mind, and it's all happened within the last few years. Well, I'm going to cut out of here now because, like I said, I can do this all day and talk about racing. So I know Sean's probably in there and a few others. So I'll let you guys get going, and have a great day. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you maybe on the way home or whatever. But, yeah, if the next two weekends is the weekend of the 18th and the 25th, I'm not around, you'll know why.
Don't sweat it, Donald. That's what radio's for. But we'll enjoy it. I'll check it out. And if I don't talk to you, have a safe trip and have some fun down there. I'm jealous of the warmth you're going to encounter. Although I guess 21 degrees in January is not the worst it could be.
Copy that. I'll be gone for 4 days, 5 days, come home for 3 days, and then I'll be gone again. I fly out on Wednesday night, come back on Sunday night, Monday morning. Home for 3 days and then I fly out again. I could stay down there, but I got stuff I got to do back here. So, all right, W8RCY. Good morning to whoever else is out there. I will clear the air.
All right, Donald. Good talking to you. And ADBF standing by.
W8VSI. Good morning, Donald and Dakota. Did we narrow down or confirm lunch plans, Dakota?
Yeah, I'm good for a noon to 1-ish in that time frame area. I'm pretty flexible, but that's typically when it's slow around here, so I can make that work if you guys can. And then I think I've got everything I need. I brought a bunch of my mesh. I brought all my mesh-tastic stuff. I think Sean was interested in some of it. And whomever else may be interested, I think I'm about done with it.
Okay. Yeah, if you could get it in the hands that'll use it, that'll be very good. So you're thinking meet at Jimmy D's at noon is the tentative plan?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'll know a little bit more once I get inside and my day gets rolling here, but that shouldn't be a problem. And, yeah, that's kind of my thought on this mesh-tastic stuff, is get it to someone that lives in an area where it can be useful versus me where it's doing absolutely nothing in my backyard other than picking up random people driving by.
Yeah, it would be a very long, tedious project to get stuff placed to get you into range. Because even me here, I mean, you know, there's so much around here, but I can really only RF to Dave. So I'm sure that'll improve. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it would be a very, very tedious process to get any sort of communication RF-wise from my house to down here. So lots of money, too, and sites that we probably don't have. So I'll let you guys keep playing with it, and Sean's got locations to put this stuff, so we'll see what we come up with. But, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm just going to keep playing radio.
Very good. I like that wire that you put up. That should be working very well for you, I'm assuming. Glad you got that going.
No, I haven't really noticed any difference, good or bad, from my last setup. My last setup, it was the same antenna. It was just higher power rated. It was up way higher. I think I had that about 80 to 90 feet. But I, from what I've been reading, people say you, the best way to run an NFET is horizontal and as high as you can get it. So I'm slightly sloped up to about 30, 35 feet from a 12-foot start, so it's working. I'm making contact. Everything sounds good. You know, I've gotten a couple DX on phones, so I guess I can't ask for more, right?
I think you got it set up pretty good, and you've actually seen mine here with my limited lot, and that's basically what I did, as high as I could start it, and then as high as I could get it across and over, and then back down to the house in like a U-shape, and I tell you what, I got no complaints. I get out everywhere, and can tune all the bands on it like I'm supposed to, so work with what I got, but I tell you what, I'm pretty darn happy with it. I don't know what I would do otherwise.
I have seen yours, and it's awesome that it does have to be a straight line, and it still works great, and I was thinking that the other day. I was like, what's the next iteration or the next step for a better antenna for a base station? And the only thing I really came up with was a tower, a beam, and a rotor, which is not even in the same wheelhouse of cost and infrastructure needed. So would I like a tower? Hell yeah, but it's a tough sell with the wife. Can I put up a 100-foot tower at the house and then a giant mast or an antenna on top? You know, plus I don't really want to spend $5,000 on a setup like that. In my opinion, I love antennas, or NFEDs. I like them for POTA. I like them at home. They're cheap, they're easy, they're inconspicuous. So I really don't know what I would do next. I don't have a whole lot of experience with the verticals. I've seen those, who makes them? The multi-band verticals, they're, I don't know, 6 through 40 sometimes. I'd be curious how those work, if it would be a cleaner install to just mount that on the roof of the house, but I don't know. I'm not complaining.
The tower bit, to me, that's too much. I don't actually operate enough to even justify that. Although, you know, it would be cool if I had a patch of land somewhere. I might do that and set up a remote station. yeah, what you got is as good as it's going to get. The vertical, I'm sure there would be some differences, but I don't know that you'd be any better. The hops might be different. You know, the bounce is off the ionosphere. So, you know, in different propagation times of the day and year, you might get, you have a variance between the two antennas that, you know, you could utilize.
I was looking at that, too, just having a single feed with a splitter that goes to two different antennas and I can switch back and forth, because those verticals aren't that expensive. And they're relatively easy to mount, especially now that I already have that junction box out there. So I've looked at them. I'm happy with what I've got. I don't really feel like it's necessary yet. I'm more or less concerned with what's going to happen on this downturn of the cycle. I think we're peaking this year, if I'm not mistaken. And then obviously neither of us have been through a lull, so I'm wondering how bad it's going to get, because I get conflicting information when I start researching it. Some people are like, yeah, you're fine, you're just stateside, and other people are like, you can't do anything. So I guess we'll see, but I don't want it to do that.
Yeah, I'm curious as well how that's going to be. I don't want it to do it either. I mean, I we get bad days or weeks here and there, and I'm like, oh, come on. But I guess just wait and see is all we can do. It's not anything we have any control over. So in the meantime, I'm happy with what I got. The only thing now for HF for me would be a little more power, which I may or may not do. Eventually, I think I will. But I got to start operating more to justify it.
I know, pushing out about 500 to 600 watts would be pretty cool, but then I hear those guys, and they sound good, but it's not like, I don't know. You know, sometimes it's no different than picking up a QRP station that's just propagating correctly and has a good antenna. And, you and I have done it on the flip side of low power, right? Like, we haven't really had too hard of a time and still get decent signal reports, so it would be cool, but it's kind of like the beam and the rotor, right? Is it really necessary to operate?
For sure, you can get those booming stations, but then sometimes you'll get a station that's just sounds like he's next door and he's across the station and he's QRP, so you're right on that for sure.
Yeah, so we'll see. I hope it doesn't get too bad. If I can still get 20 during the day and 40 at night, I guess that's all I really care about. I don't really hang out on 10, 12, 15, or 17. So, and then if we're getting 40, we'll probably still get 80. So I guess we'll see, right? We've never done it. We've never been through it. We'll see what happens.
Exactly. You know, we got to try all those bands between you and I on voice. And then on FT8, when I'm using Grid Tracker, they got that little bar graph there. And then the ham clock as well. Those other bands for FT8, when they start hitting, you'll get other stations that you haven't got or other countries. So 20 and 40, you're right, are the main ones. But those other ones, and actually 10 is quite good for far DX stations all throughout the day. So might want to jump on that once in a while, too, especially now is the peak time, and sometimes it's just crazy. I'll look up PSK Reporter, and it's like I'm getting out everywhere.
Yeah, I plan on taking full advantage of these next few months, or maybe this next year, or however long it's going to last, of everything being good and open. Just doing what I can and checking off some boxes, getting some T-shirts. But yeah, I would like to test. Maybe this weekend we can test 80 and see how well we can hear each other. Because at the very least, if things go to hell in a handbasket, at least we could just, instead of using the node, jump on 80 and, hang out there.
That's true, too. For any of us that can do 80, that's definitely a plus. Yeah, I definitely want to try that. So when you get any time, just get a hold of me and we can try it.
Yeah, for sure. I remember Sean and I and Dave, right when he got his 710, but he didn't have any of the audio tuned yet. I think we had a pretty decent QSO on 80, and then Captain Don, too. And Captain Don and I were very close, and we could still hear each other. So, I think we should try that this weekend if anyone's around. I know I've got some time, and it sounds like you've got some time, so we should give that a whirl. My antenna says it's 80 to 10, and I don't know what I would have to do to get 160. I'd probably have to add another length to it, but I don't know much about that band. I don't know if I've ever even been on that band.
Yeah, I can't tune 160 with mine at all. I think I would have to add something to it. But with a higher SWR and lower power, I've actually got some contacts on it, but very, very minimal.
I'll have to check my logbook, but yeah, I don't know if I've done anything on it. I feel like I've tried it on the old Nelson I had, and that was the same exact antenna, except the transformer was rated for kilowatt. So I don't know. I'll have to dig through QRZ and check my logbook and see. But yeah, well, I'm gonna try this weekend if you're around. But let's plan on noon 30 at Jimmy D's, and let's get some sandwiches, and I'll get you that Apple TV, and we'll keep in touch and telegram. I actually brought my HT today too because I was a little bit early, so I'm gonna bring that in the office in case I miss anybody. But yeah, I'm in. I'm hungry.
Hungry already. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that sandwich I always get there. It's incredible. So it'll be good. Yeah, I'm thinking Sean and I will probably get there a tad earlier than most to make sure we get a table. And we'll probably get some sort of count through Telegram. I think Captain Don might show up, and Dave might show up, and KZ Dave can't make it. He's he had a knee surgery, so he's laid up for a couple days. But it'll be good. Get together, hang out, get some food, and exchange everything that needs to be exchanged.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But, yeah, like I said, as long as the world doesn't burn down around me, I can be there around noon 30. So I will, I'll keep in touch with you guys, but plan on seeing you then.
So when you first got on this morning, or I should say the first thing I heard, was you got out of the car wash. Did you, your car wash was this morning? And where was that, back up in Imlay?
Yeah, I washed the truck, and unfortunately by me, there's like no car washes. So there's one in Imlay, but I don't think my truck with this antenna would do very well. It's very, very old and tight. And that, I got to go north over 69 into Imlay to get there. And then the one in Elmont is... the quarter wash only is open right now. Their touchless has been down since we bought this house, which is frustrating because that one's right on my way into work. And then I take 53 in, so I don't pass. There's nothing convenient on the way in, so I either have to go to the one at Heinrich right there, that mobile, or I got to go to the one on 59 west of 53 right over by the Tim Hortons. So... there's nothing convenient about getting the truck washed, and that's why it never gets washed anymore.
I'll tell you what, from your work to M53, if you turn right on Shaner, the outback there, you go up a quarter mile on the right, and there's a clear view, and it's outstanding. So that would mean, you know, you just go up there, run through it, loop around, come back down Shaner, jump back on Hall Road. So on your way home, you could probably do that rather easily, and it's a good car wash.
I forgot about that. I used to go there when it was Robin Auto Wash. I don't know how long ago they sold, but those guys took great care of me. I went there when I still had my car, which was a Buick Regal, so that was a long time ago. But I forgot about that, and I think they've got subscriptions too, so that might be worth looking into. At the very least, I could just get on Shaner and take that to 23 over to 53 or whatever, because usually by the time I'm leaving, Hall Road between Shaner and 53 is a parking lot.
Alternate route would probably be a better idea there, too. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm going to keep that in mind the next time I need a wash. I know that one's not touchless, though, so I would definitely have to pop the 2x4 off the truck before it gets ripped off. I was nervous on the car wash I got this morning because I could see it was a little bit lower than the one I usually go to, and I could see the antenna shaking every time it passed over the truck, but it wasn't grabbing it enough to break it. It just, you know, grabbed it for a second or two and then let it go, and it would shake, and it was good. So that's my only concern, is ripping a 2x4 out of the truck, especially now that I got the mount dialed in the way I wanted to. But, all right, I'm going to get inside here. I've been sitting in the parking lot for a half hour. I've got no desire to work today. I thought yesterday was Friday. So, like I said, I'll keep in touch with you guys, and see you around lunchtime.
All right, sounds good. Get in there, get some stuff done. We'll see you at lunch. KV8 BSI.
I'll see you in a few. NADBF.
KV8 RUH. Hey, did you guys settle on a time?
Good morning. Yeah, we're thinking between 12 and 12:30 at Jimmy D's.
Good morning. Okay, cool. I will try to be there around then. wanted to make sure I was leaving my house at around the right time. I'll keep monitoring throughout the morning if you guys dial in a time closer, but I'll try to be there between 12 and 12:30. Sounds good. KUH.
Excellent. We'll see you then, KE8 VSI.
W8FU.
Hey, Sean, how you doing? KE8RUH.
Oh, not terrible. Still behind schedule this morning. But other than that, all's well.
I was thinking that exact thing. I was like, wow, Sean's running a little late today. I am today's my work from home today, so I happened to pop on the node to listen in this morning to see if you guys all decided a time. But I heard Greg and Dakota talking, and I think they were had honed it in to between 12 and 12:30 for a lunchtime, so we got that going for us.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get in there a little bit ahead of that to try to secure a spot, because I think we're going to have, I mean, we're really waiting to hear if Dave's 90%, so I'm going to count Dave. That's 6. And then Don is question mark, so but he'd be 7, so I'm going to get a spot for, you know, at least accommodate 7, but we won't know on a couple till game time, so I'll adjust, but I'm going to get in there ahead of schedule and try to get us a spot, because the place can get pretty crowded, and it is a pay Friday for the county, so.
Okay, cool. Maybe I'll see what I got going. I'll try to get over there a little early, because I got some stuff going this afternoon, so I can hang out for a bit. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, now I got to decide whether I want to go into the shop or make a drop-off. I picked up a bunch of batteries for one of my agencies, and I could go drop them off this morning, knock that out. Oh, man. What's a boy to do?
It's all about logistics. You got to figure out where everything fits into your route.
Well, I just passed my first cut that I usually do for the going into the shop. Next one will be at M59. At M59... Well, no, I'll be making a cut at that point. So the question will be, do I go north when I get to M53, or do I keep going straight? That'll be where I have to make my mind up.
Sounds like you got a little bit of time. Why rush the decision?
So I don't know if you saw or not in the telegram, I bought these pair of cheesy little external antennas for the mesh-tastic stuff. They're like $20 for a pair of them, $10 each. And they're performing pretty well, as best I can tell. But the magnet on them is so pathetic. I don't even think they'd hold themselves upright on a car.
You know, that mag mount antenna that I have on my car for the mesh-tastic device, I bought that on AliExpress for like $3.18, and I haven't done any testing on it, but it seems to be working rather well. I've been able to pick stuff up all over town and pick stuff up driving up north and stuff like that, so it works pretty well.
Yeah, John and I were talking about that. That's probably the same thing with the Amazon surcharge is what I got. But he ordered up 3 of them, the $3 ones from AliExpress. So when one of them's earmarked for me when I got it. So I got 2 of them, and I'll use those for my little Helltech V3s, which I'm going to deploy I got a couple of T-beams. I don't know if you're familiar with those from John. And I don't feel those perform as well as the little Helltex. So I'm going to try, I've had a Helltex up at, or a T-beam. Such a nicer, much a nicer, I'll get the words out, believe me. It's such a much nicer piece of hardware in physical design. You know, but I just don't think RF-wise it performs as well. Now, that could be because it's a better, of a higher quality radio, you know, and then I might find that if I get the Helltech up to a high elevation, it might collapse. But I'm going to give a Helltech D3 a try at a high location, MTC1, with one of these cheesy little antennas. We'll see what happens. Or maybe I could just leave the... T-beam up there and try one of these antennas. So, there's that.
Yeah, years ago I had a couple of those T-beams before there was really any adoption, I never discovered another node or anything of the sort. I mean, I think it was in 2020, something like that, and at one point you couldn't even get the app anymore on Android because they were they had affiliated MeshTastic with the all of the riots and everything that were going on because these guys were using those to communicate, so they took it out of the app store. But I let them go so long that they couldn't be updated anymore. And at one point, maybe a year ago, I gave them to Dakota, and I don't think he was ever able to get them to update. And here we are, all buying new equipment. So, the new stuff definitely works better. It's tough to figure out what's good because it's all so cheap. But I do have those waterproof boxes that I was telling you about in the car already.
Oh, okay, cool. I'll take a look at that because I'll look at that after lunch and scratch my head because I know Dakota's bringing me some stuff. I've got those little antennas, so maybe I'll look at what I got after lunch and scratch my head and figure out if I'm going to do something different. Because I wouldn't mind getting something, up high with a 360-degree view. Right now I'm in a windowsill inside with just the little ducts. I mean, it's a little bit better than a duct, but it's just the stick that comes on the TV. Sitting in a windowsill, I could get it up another couple of floors and get it out on top where it has a 360-degree view and it's outside. But, I need a box. For that. I have to plan it out if I'm going to get power up there and stuff like that. I was going to do a PoE type thing with like a Pi. So I haven't really given it a whole lot of, finalization. I've given it a lot of thought, but I haven't given it I haven't moved in any particular direction. I know Fred's working on a couple. He just got a couple of hacks that are running on Pis that are going to be powered over Ethernet, so we'll see how his scratching goes. Maybe he's got something. But you're right, we're buying new stuff, but this stuff's all cheap, so it's not really a big deal.
Yep. Hey, I gotta cut out. I gotta get the kid to school here, so I'll check in a little bit later after I drop her off. If you're still on, I will. I'll call out and we can continue chatting, but otherwise I'll see you at lunch. This is KRUH, and I'll be clear on your final.
All right. Well, you have fun with that. I'm coming up on my decision time, so give me time to reflect, decide what I want to do. I'll see you at lunch. W8.
Hi, good morning, Sean.
got a license plate. I need to get a picture of in front of me. I'm in no position to do it. How you doing, Greg?
I am good. Talking to Dakota this morning. He was planning on lunch from noon to 1, and then as the conversation went on, he's looking for an arrival at the restaurant between 12 and 12:30. So I think you heard a little bit of that already. I'll plan on being there probably right around 12, maybe a little bit before that, and with you, just kind of secure an area or whatever, a table, and should be good.
All right, sounds good, yeah. The place gets pretty busy. It's a Friday, it's a pay Friday for, you know, a couple of thousand people that work in that area. So I don't know how it's going to be, but it typically gets crowded anyhow, so we can get there just a little ahead. I think it'll be good. By that time, we should know if Dave's got to back out or Don's not going to make it. We'll be able to get a good number. So that works. What time do you think you said it? And I was, and it flushed out of my brain that quickly. I think it said, I was thinking about 10 minutes early. Is that what you were saying?
My plan is to get there a little before noon.
All right, so we're thinking the same thing. Yeah, I was thinking about 10 to or something. So it should help in securing a spot. At this point, it looks like maybe 7 if everybody shows.
Oh, that's a chunk of people. I don't know who all is going, but me, you, Dakota, Anthony, Dave, Don, that's 5. Don't know who else.
Well, that's 6, and then Wally. So you got Anthony, Dakota, you, me, 4, Dave and Don, 5, 6, Wally, 7.
That was going to be my next question. I haven't heard Wally in a while, and I was wondering if he was aware of this, so you already answered it, so very good. That'd be cool.
Yeah, he chimed in the telegram and said, I'll be there. So it was a one-liner, kind of in the midst of other stuff. So I don't think anybody else would have caught it.
Very good. And I know you got the lunch and the batteries to drop off. And I know you want to do that new antenna at Mount Clemens 1. Was that today or don't know yet?
You know, both Dakota and Anthony are bringing me gear towards that end. So I think I'm going to wait to see what all I have to play with, because obviously I want to put something up, you know, that has a little bit better reach and view. So get it out of the window still. And I was just going to take one of my Helfex up there with one of these little bag mounts that I got the other day, because they're performing like gangbusters. And I was just going to do one of those up real quick and slap that up there. But I want to wait and see what those guys bring to the party. I know Anthony's got some weatherproof cases, and Dakota's got, I don't know what, he's got several of the things that he was tinkering with. So I'm going to try to make the single best weatherproof node I can out of the whole mess, and then try to get it actually deployed outside.
Less trips and better results, probably a good idea. My only question was, the reason I asked is because I know my node and that one have seen each other, but I think it's quite fringe. So my thing was, if just getting that little antenna on there might get it to a point where it's usable for me. but no big deal when that happens. I'm just hoping whatever the next iteration is, a direct link to that would be kind of cool.
Well, it'd be one more step towards the goal, right? You know, the goal is to have these things completely RF. That's really, and you know, we have enough resources and interested people where we could probably get a network deployed. You know, it's gonna, I have to see. You know, we'll have to see when I get that thing playing in its glory, and I'm with you. I think just improving the antenna would get to you, and improving the antenna and going to a Helltech V3, I think you'd be in like great. So because I think they perform that much better. But unless there's a noise floor slash sometimes sensitivity is not your friend on a high commercial site, because it was a well known issue back in the day. Bass Fet preamps were all the rage, and they were really good for like ham radio stuff where you were all alone and working weak signal stuff on sideband and CW, on VHF and UHF. Bass Fet was the way to go because they were the ultimate game, but they were really susceptible to swamping and noise, and if you tried to use them in commercial endeavors, they were just a mess. And one solution was to use, stick with bipolar, but there's other various, solutions that have come up over the years. But that was, we're talking back to like 80s, more gain, more gain is great. No, more gain ain't great. More gain can be a real problem on a real site. So we got to see. These little Helltech V3s perform much better down on the ground. That may or may not translate to better in the air. So we'll see.
Yep, understood. A lot of stuff yet to be determined. I think we got a good start, and I think slow progression and whatnot will eventually, I think it'll get us to where we want to be. Nothing, super fantastic, but just a nice little network where our goal is achievable to communicate completely off-grid.
Right, and once we complete it, we can all go, okay, everybody gets the t-shirts, and we're done with it. It's like everything else.
We had a big slam with the IP phones, and I thoroughly enjoyed all of the putting together and figuring out and all that kind of stuff, the tinkering that we do, and I do not use it much, but I do use it. You know, it's cool if you and I got to chat about something, or me and Dave, or whatever, without any kind of interruptions or minimal stuff. It's actually used. I don't think it'll ever, well, I can't say that, but I'm glad I have it. And this will probably be on the same line of that.
Yeah, it's real similar to that, man. We all think around and got some stuff, and, we all knew that it was going to be, relic, under the desk. But it's on, the same as mine. So I'm at 25 miles on Warren. I wonder if I should switch to Romeo or Richmond or something. How is my signal?
I was just going to comment that you're getting some bacon fry in there. So 25 mile, I don't know what cross street, but I would try Romeo.
K8RUH.
Okay, this is Romeo for what it's worth. Go ahead, answer.
Just figured I'd hop back in while I'm driving back home to get some work done, but Sean, you're bacon frying a little bit more than you were on Warren. Over to you, Greg.
I agree. Just a tad bit more on Romeo with the bacon fry than Warren. So you're kind of right in between, basically the same. And again, I don't know what cross street you're at or which way you're heading. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay, just for giggles, I'm on Richmond now. I'm in right in Romeo, so I will be better on Romeo in a short time. But this is Richmond, just for what it's worth. Anthony?
That was even tougher to get in on than the Romeo. So, I don't know what you guys were chatting about when I hopped in, so I don't want to change the conversation, so I'll throw it over to Greg and keep it rolling.
All right, just general chit-chat, nothing exciting. And yes, Richmond was worse. So back to either Romeo or Warren.
Okay, well, I'm Farrell and Force Romeo, so I'll just leave it on Romeo. But, anyhow. Yeah, we're talking about just doing something with this. What am I going to do with MCC1? And I was telling Greg that I'm waiting to see, between what you're bringing in and what Dakota's bringing in, and then I'll sit down and I'll look and make a decision based on what I got in front of me. But I want to get something a little better up there as soon as possible because it's seems like a really, really good site. Really built some bridges, filled some holes. So then it's just in general the joy of tinkering with this stuff, with the realization that it's probably not going to amount to a whole lot. Just get the T-shirt, That's kind of what we were gabbing about. But don't regret a minute of it. It's a lot of fun learning it. Anthony?
It's funny because I've been, I've had a couple devices. You guys all started getting devices, and I can't keep up. You guys are changing settings so fast and figuring out so much. I just have no idea what's going on. It's really funny. I'm enjoying it all, but it's like, oh boy, I don't even know if I have the right settings anymore.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I'm lagging a little bit. What I do is I try to keep up with all the posts and this and that, and then every once in a while, when something seems to stick, then I'll make the change. And to sit back for a little while and then get caught up. And if it's a matter of getting me on an IP phone and talking for a half hour and just going setting by setting, I'll be happy to do that. Everybody's got a different pace in what they're able to do. It's a lot, and it can come quickly. I get it. Sean?
Yeah, things have been pretty stable for a little while now. We just added in that RF channel, that RF only channel, because we wanna have a place where we can absolutely be certain it's not getting any help from the internet or anything like that. So you can just add that in 2 seconds. But other than that, when we had the Michigan, the Who Cares, and the Long Fast 3 channels, it's been pretty stable since then. But you're right, a lot of things, going on. We figure out, you don't turn that on, then this will happen or that will happen. So all that is flies by pretty fast. There's just poor documentation on it, which I guess makes it part of the fun of figuring it out. It's part of the frustration, yet it's part of the fun is figuring that stuff out because it isn't documented real well. So, oh well. Some people, I like to say, some people like doing Sudoku, and some people like crossword puzzles, and uses of stuff we seem to like.
Well, guys, not to change the topic or anything, but after doing school drop-off, I drove down to Jefferson, and in the last 3 minutes, I've watched one of the most amazing sunrises with a sun reflection with the skim ice over the lake. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, very cool. That's definitely always a good way to start the day, for sure. And yeah, Sean, you're right. Both frustration and what we enjoy doing. So I get both from it, but it comes and goes. And in the end, you end up with a better working network or product or whatever we're working with.
All I can see of that sunset where I'm at is the sky kind of getting red. So, not going to see it from here. Or you get done with it all, you've really put in the time, and when you say that, we did it, we found this or we found that, and, you're talking from experience, you don't have to wonder. This is going to probably, a lot of guys ran on the first wave, which was earlier this year, last year, I should say. And they got there, got the T-shirt, and kind of got uninterested. And
I think even Anthony was part of that wave, but it got a lot of press. And, you know, John and several other people were all monkeying with this some time ago. And, you know, they kind of got to the point where they said, yeah, well, you know, so this is a new hurrah, you know, a new shot, a new poke. There's a little extra resources available. There's a little bit more knowledge. So, well, they dive back in and say, okay, well, where'd it get? Did it ever realize the potential that we had? So, I am just pulling up to my stop here. Gonna run inside. Don't know how long I'll be gabbing with the folks here. That's the reason I'm making the personal delivery. Wanted to BS with some of the folks here. I haven't seen them in a while. And I'll be back out here in a bit. W8FU, go ahead, Anthony.
All right, Sean, it was good talking to you. We'll catch up later this afternoon. Like we were saying, Greg, I'm at kind of at the point where it's like with this, they're changing stuff so fast, I'm kind of waiting for it to stabilize and then get a better understanding of where they're at. I'm also far enough away from all of those guys that with it just set on RF, I'm not able to connect with them yet. So it's not really a big deal that I'm not keeping up with all their settings, but I think the system will grow with Sean putting a few up high, people getting more and more adoption, and we'll start connecting the dots and get it into a large network. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, that makes a difference of where you're at as well. So you're perfectly suited to sit back and watch and learn and then update very occasionally. I've got a pretty decent outdoor node full-time and kind of right in the middle of the active area here. And so I just being that part of it, I want to be a little more up-to-date than not. So I do it when I can. But RF-wise, I'm really only within reach of Dave on that Who Cares RF-only channel. As soon as Mount Clemens gets a little bit better, I'm hoping that'll change and open things up. But we shall see. Davey is real close here. I'm shocked that him and I aren't talking RF really easy. So I don't know why that's not working. But so, yeah, in your case, you're doing real well. You had mentioned you went to Jefferson and the sunrise over the lake. I don't know where you're at. What cross street at Jefferson was that?
Jefferson and Fern here. I'm in Gross Point Woods. But hey, I just pulled up at the house. I gotta get back to work, so I'll catch up with you this afternoon. I'll be clear on your final. KE8RUH.
All right, very good. Get in there. Talk to you later on today. KE8PSI.
Okie dokie. Mission accomplished. W8EAP. Good morning, W8FU.
Good morning to you. Got an alert on my Amazon device. It's a winter storm warning, up to 2 inches of snow. Man, I don't know, it sounds like much of a winter storm, only 2 inches expected, but whatever.
There's a joke, an inappropriate joke in there somewhere, and I think I'm going to not go for it. Anyhow, up in Romeo, on the Romeo right now. Had to stop up there and visit with somebody. He wasn't in, but there was a couple other guys. A couple of GMRSers, in fact. They've been bugging me to put one up in Romeo for the, you know, specifically for them, not connected or anything. So, and I promised to do it. I just got some equipment or a crew or something like that to get it installed.
Roger, is it going to be on the same tower is the 075, or is it a different location?
Same tower, so but it'll be all new feed line, all new antenna. So, it'll be lower, It'll be interesting to see. They said they're willing. They got a bucket that they can get up, a ladder that they can get up pretty high. I think they can get up to 100. So they were talking about putting one up there. And I've got the antenna on the hard line and everything. So if that's the case, we'll see how that works. And I think it might work better. You know, we're, you know, another 50 above that. But we've got that old hardware and that questionable antenna. So it'll be an interesting experiment.
Well, that'll fill one area. Yep, should fill almost up to 60, well, maybe not all the way, well, I don't know, it might go all the way to 69. Another inappropriate joke in there, or at least 68, but yeah, that's cool. Has the frequency been picked out or no?
No, have to sit down and really think about that. Go from there. But anyhow, we'll see. Summer came and everybody got busy, you know, and with summer things and vacations and camping and all that other stuff. And so a lot of the climbing work got nixed. Plus, when they did have time, they were working pretty heavily on a couple of other MI-7 projects, so I know we've had planned for them to be back down here doing some work, but just hasn't happened yet. I'm thinking maybe in the spring, because we got work to do at Romeo, or Richmond, big time, and a little work I want done at the Warren as well, so we'll see. Just got to find the opportunity.
You have that lunch meeting, that's out by your work, right? It's not in Warren. It's out by where you work, right?
Yeah, that's going to be right by my work, right by the kitty corner from the jail.
Yeah, it would have been the place in Warren. I could have probably snuck out and head up there for a half hour. It was the Saturday breakfast place, but nah, a little too far for me to drive, but anywho, there you go.
Well, this really started out as Dakota and Anthony needing to connect for some, you know, equipment exchange, and then, you know, I said, well, I gotta get something from Dakota. Anthony has something for me, so I says, why don't we, you know, and then somebody suggested Jimmy D's, because Dakota keeps saying he wants to get back there, so I said, well, why don't we make it that, and it's kind of, you know, and then Greg is always game for a daytime food run, so I knew Greg was good for a call, and Wally's generally good, so it just kind of snowballed from there, you know, if you get Dave, Captain Don, you never know. You know, is he going to be up? Is he going to be willing and able? You know, he's the wild card. But Dave's got, you know, the work thing, so he may or may not. He's got a 90% chance of making it. He'll probably make it. So it just kind of happened, you know, organically. But it was really all about Dakota and Anthony connecting up for an equipment exchange.
Yep. That makes sense. Yeah, we do exchange a lot of equipment amongst us, that's for sure. There's always someone wanting to sell something or someone wanting to buy it, whether they need it or not. So, well, that works out. Very good. Anywho, I'm going to listen to the radio my last couple miles in here, so 3-meter radio. All right, Sean, catch you later. And I'm just about here. WADAB.
All righty, and I'm going to make a stop at one of my other sites up here. While I'm up here,
tore one of my plates down, all but the actual my part of it. They built a shelter around my shelter, which was in part of a building that they found. So I gotta go check it out. All right, we'll catch you later. WAFU.
Eric, get back to work. Stop monitoring. Can't see that.
Yeah, get back to work. KEATSM.
Get back to work.
Figured I'd get the Grandstream phone out and try it out for a little while.
Grandstream phone, what's that?
Oh, it's a, what do they call these things? VoIP phone, using hams over IP, and it's just Wi-Fi phone, and it's like, it resembles, the old style cordless phones.
Yeah, I gotta use my phone more. It's been plugged in, and I think I've turned it on once the first day I got it, and then I haven't used it, and it's mainly because it's sitting where the Ethernet switch is, which isn't by my desk, and I just haven't ran the cord over here by my desk to have a wired connection. So I got to solve that problem one of these days.
Well, I haven't been using my Cisco phone. I've got that app on the phone. What is it? Can't remember. My brain is not working today. No coffee yet. But, yeah, so I just have the soft phone client on my phone, and that usually is what I use most of the time. But I bought this Grandstream phone back when we were starting to tinker with this stuff, and it works as a pseudo kind of all-star node. You can bring it in the car. You can tether it to your hotspot on your phone and kind of talk that way. I know it's not really radio, but in a pinch it works.
Yeah, I'd probably do the same thing, but I have the luxury of my radios right next to where I work, so it's actually easier to use these things. So, yeah, it works out good. I listen to WWJ on the 705, and then I have the 9600 scanning here next to me.
Very good. Yeah, I still yet to have put an antenna in a real spot that lets me in the repeaters reliably, so I'll get to it eventually. Just winter, don't want to do anything outside.
Yeah, the hardest part's getting the coax run. once I finally got off my butt and got that down into my basement, that made things a whole lot easier. And now I got a couple antennas that aren't plugged in sitting up in the attic, because I'll put them up, try them, and then I'm too lazy to take them down. So, but yeah, I think I gotta run one more piece of coax, though. I really need three, and that would cover me. But I don't know if I can squeeze the third one through the holes that I drilled, and that's where all the work is, drilling through the, you know, tops of walls and things.
Yeah, I just got to get into the, and for me, I just got to get into the attic and run a coax through the cold air return. There's this big, gigantic pipe that goes all the way from the top floor down into the basement, and I think if I can tap into that somehow, that would be wonderful. And you don't have to worry about heating up the coax. It's just the cold air. And now that Eric's here, we can start talking about Meshtastic. So we're going to have to figure out what's wrong with your node.
Yeah, it just doesn't have enough juice, I think.
Doesn't anyone talk on the node anymore?
It seems to be working. I'm going to try to set up some experiments maybe this weekend where I point two of them at each other, you know, one hooked up to the spectrum analyzer, and I want to see, like, how many degrees off from the one I can be where I still, you know, and see what the power drop-off is. So I'm going to try to set something up and do that just to make sure it's not that the antenna's, you know, highly directional.
Yeah, but we should be seeing you. I'm amazed that we're not able to see you at all on the map. Are you seeing any other nodes around you? If you turn MQTT off, that is.
No, I'm not seeing anything. I mean, I see that there's nodes on MQTT that are closer, but like on the map where it kind of draws my circle around where I'm at, I mean, I don't overlap with any of those things. And I think it's just I'm just out of range. But again, the antenna's pointing at Greg right now. Greg and you, you know, ish, I would say. I didn't have a compass, you know, so I'm kind of eyeballed it. But I'm going to try pointing it directly south to hit either Mount Clemens or the one that's close to me. I forget whose that is. That's, you know, basically, you know, or due east of me, I mean. So I think I'll move the antenna east for a little bit. In fact, maybe I'll go and do that after at lunchtime, and I'll leave it sit there for 24 hours and see if I get anybody due east.
Yeah, I think if you move it, if you point it towards, if you can, the best you can, towards Romeo Plank and 23, or no, not Romeo. You know where the foam factory is? If you point it towards the direction from your house to the foam factory, or where there's like a Taco Bell over there, and that Beaumont thing at Romeo Plank, if you point it in that direction, that might work better.
Yeah, my low-cost antenna mount at the moment, there was a piece of wood that the builders nailed across some of the joists. It's not for load-bearing or anything. It looks like something they used just to kind of tack things up until they secured it. So I just took my saw and I cut like a one-inch slot and then just stuck the PCB directly in that, and it worked out pretty good. So I'll send a picture when I move it here at lunchtime.
All right, very good. Are you joining us for lunch? I think we're still doing lunch over near Sean.
Oh, you guys are doing lunch today?
I think so. I haven't checked the messages yet. I know there's a winter storm coming, but we're not going to probably let that stop us.
Yeah, Jimmy D's, Grossbeck, and Elizabeth, right near the jail, Universal Tower and all that, the corned beef sandwich place. It's going to be from like between 12 and 12:30. Greg and I are going to get there about, a little before, just to try to secure a spot, because there could be seven or even eight of us at least. So we're going to try to secure it. But yes, that's on for between 12 and 12:30. A lot of it has to do with Dakota's schedule where he can sneak out of work. But he's pretty certain that you know, between 12 and 12:30 he's going to work.
Yeah, I won't be able to make it today. That's too bad. Yeah, I just set up a 12:30 to 1 o'clock meeting, so so I gotta do that one first. So I won't be able to make it today. But yeah, otherwise I would. Yeah, if you asked me an hour ago, I'd say yes, and then I would have canceled because the surprise came up.
All right. Yeah, it's really it was Dakota and Anthony needed to meet to swap some gear. And then I said, you know, hey, I know Dakota was really chomping the bit to get to this, Jimmy D's again. So I says, why don't we plan it there? And I've got stuff to get from both of them. And Greg's always game for a lunch meet up. And then Dave and Captain Don said, you know, we'll make it if we can. And Wally said he'd make it. And hell, next thing you know, we got 7-8 guys all showing up. So, okay, well, that's unfortunate. We would like to have seen you, but I'm going to get back to my work stuff here, and I will see everybody around noonish, I guess.
All right, very good. See you guys there. KS8S, I'm going to get back to work, too.
W8NSC Mobile.
KE8VFI Mobile.
KS8S Mobile.
Cool, he's gonna beat me. 24 in Romeo Point.
Or as Eric would like to call it, Mobile. I'm in my Mobile.
Roger, Roger.
Yeah, I had a, I don't know what you call it. I had like a headache. I had to lay down for a bit, and thankfully it passed, and yeah, so I'm on the road early. I couldn't get any, there wasn't any other work I could get done in 5 minutes. I just got up, and I'll be doing afternoon work.
Alrighty, yeah, headaches are no fun. Glad it passed. And yeah, you can always play catch up this afternoon. Had a pretty lazy morning, did a few things right before I left, you know, my daily duty stuff. Still not done with that, but now I'm super hungry, so I hope Dakota gets there closer to noon, that 12:30, but whatever, we'll figure it out. I'll live.
Yeah, I mean, we could always eat, order and eat ahead and then, you know, just stay and chit-chat, too. There's no... I mean, we don't all have to necessarily eat at the same time. But, yeah, it's usually good to eat at the same time. But, I don't know. Do you think the storm's going to hit, or do you think it's been exaggerated?
I haven't looked into it too much, so I don't know. The 2 to 4, I don't know. I'm guessing more like 1 to 2 or 1 to 3. And in the end, it's going to be basically 12 to 18 hours, and that's it. You know, it'll stick around, though, because it's cold out. There's other places, Tennessee, Arkansas, and even Florida and Georgia, that I know people that are getting all kind of snow. But on Monday, it's going to be 40 and stay that way. So They don't even have to shovel or even think about it.
Well, it's payback for fleeing the state. They gotta flee the state to get away from the snow, and then they get it in the cold weather. But yeah, you're right. It's wow, I'm here already. It really was only 9 minutes to get here.
Oh, all right. So you were definitely ahead of me for sure. Sean probably won't be too far behind. My ETA is 11:51, 10 minutes. So I will be there.
Alrighty. Yeah, I'm not quite there yet, but I just, North Avenue turns into Grossbeck, so it's like really easy. So I'll see you here in a bit. I'll be waiting in the car, though.
Yeah, that's how Apple Maps has me going 24 miles to North Avenue and zippy-doo on down. So it's about as easy as you get. That's 15 minutes from my house, so that's not bad at all. And 9 minutes down. KE8BSI.
Cool. Yeah, I gotta see what I can reach from here. I wonder if I can reach the mesh-tastic thingy.
Yeah, maybe Mount Clemens. That would be cool. Just to verify that. Get a little range test there. Maybe Sean Quirk. He's got one running there. I think he does. And yeah, if you brought the toy, you might have to check it out. Got a few minutes. I didn't bring any of my mesh-tastic, though. The one I had kind of set aside for road is at Casey's house right now. And I think I'm going to get one more, because I'm going to go back to one on IP for Gateway instead of the Bluetooth to get through my Android device. Although that seems pretty solid. It doesn't really fail. But, I don't know. Just to do it. And then I'll have one for mobile use.
Yeah, I'll show you the one I got when you get here. But I'll probably be swapping that out. But it's kind of cool. I want to get one of the seed trackers, the ones that like look like a little credit card, because then those just kind of like hang off of stuff. But anyways, maximum transmissions. Nobody's around.
Alrighty.
Hey, how many are we getting a table for?
I don't know.
I want to say six. I haven't heard from Captain Don.
But I don't think anybody's heard from him yet. Alright, I'm going to hop out in the car. You there.
WFP. KFA-CAC radio test. Station calling for radio check. I hear you. Your signal into the repeater is a little on the low side, and your audio is definitely low. Didn't quite catch your call sign.
All right, thank you. This is KF8EAP.
All right, KF8EAG. It was a little lower that time. Very good. KE8BSI.
KF8EAG with a different antenna.
KF8EAG, I want to say about the same.
All right, thank you.
Good morning, gentlemen. KPP.
Good morning, Wally. We've got one on site to within a couple minutes. You are somewhere, and two we haven't heard on the radio yet.
and GPS shows I'll be there at exactly at noon. So save me a spot.
I'm on my way.
All right, so while he's 10 minutes out, Dakota's probably about that. This is going to work out great.
Hey, Tom, you around?
I invited him, but I know he had a busy day at work.
So, yeah, GPS still says noon. Where am I?
I'm on Hall Road.
Birmingham all morning for work, but I'll be there.
My ETA is 6 minutes.
I'm going to be the one that's fashionably late. I'm in front of the college.
I see the Greg Mobile.
I am
also known as the G-Wagon.
Yes, I. And the Sean Mobile.
Are you there, Sean? Did you secure us a spot?
He's not on the radio. He's out in the car. We're all in the parking lot. We're going to go in. Okay, I need us.
Sierra 1 and 5, NADDF.
K-A, R-U-H?
No.
What's up, dude? Where you at?
I'm literally pulling into the restaurant right now. I just got in the turn lane.
Cool. I'll be there about a quarter after. I was trying to get an earlier start, but I did not. I was been on the phone for an hour, so I'll be there around quarter after.
All right, man. Sounds good. I'll let everyone know. I'll see you in a bit. NADDF.
Yeah, I bet. A couple more hours though, and you can scoot on out.
Almost there. It's Friday. That's the motivation getting me through it.
Oh, that's how it works. Up all week and just skate into the end of the day today. Well, you had a good lunch, a good visit, and whatnot. So, yeah, but a nap would be good. I was up real early this morning. 4:30, something like that, and then I got a nap from 8 to 8, or 8 to 9:20 or something. So I don't know if I could get a nap now, but anyway, I got some things I need to get done anyway. KE8 BSI.
NADDF. Yes, it was good seeing everybody. I think we should try to make this. If anyone's willing, I think we should try to make this a thing where we at least once a month grab lunch. Appreciate you guys being flexible. My schedule is not. Not the most flexible, and I know Anthony's got a hard time breaking away from the office, too, so we appreciate the accommodation.
Yeah, I'm game for a little more regular. Any interval is fine. And, yeah, everybody's schedule is different, so the ones that are flexible, I got no problem. I could, obviously, with time doesn't matter, and even location doesn't matter to me, so good with that.
All right, well, good deal. Yeah, we'll have to try to get something planned out. And then, you know, I think a lot of us are, God, most of us are pretty active in POTA. I think when this weather turns to not frigid, icicle temperature, we can start planning those events, too, where we all go out on a weekend and, you know, bring a barbecue and a cooler kind of thing.
Yep, Roger, I'm definitely game for that. I'll get out a few times this winter, but when I do that, I'm sitting in the back seat of my Jeep with the front seat folded down and all my gear in front of me. There's really no way to socialize with anybody else and stay warm unless they want to sit in my driver's seat, but then they're not doing anything. So, summertime, yeah, I like that. You know, food in a cooler and whatnot. Very good. Yeah, we've done a couple of Dakotas that were, you know, a bunch of us once. That was cool. We could step up that game for sure.
Yeah, I was just showing Anthony and Dave my hamstick mount. I put it in the bed of the truck for winter activations specifically. After that one time we all went out there, I'm never doing that again. That was way too freaking cold. I like the idea of screwing my 20-meter hamstick after I pre-tune the thing and I'm on the air. But, yeah, we'll have to get something together here. We'll all keep in touch. It was good seeing everybody. And I'm pulling in the office here, so going to run out the rest of the day, and maybe I'll catch you guys on my drive home. So I'll be clear for yours, NADBF.
All right. I saw your 2x4 mount. That was nice. I like that. That's nice and sturdy, well done. I didn't get to see the hamstick one, but that's what I do, too. I put a hamstick right on the roof of my car, on my NMO mount, because I got the converter and bunker down in the vehicle, so that's the way to do it. Okay, EAPSI, talk to you later.
Just left my in the trunk. How am I coming in? KFAS.
You are coming in good enough. Good enough. Sounds like your antenna's in the trunk. But no, it's good. Tiny bit of fry.
All right, I'm going to go to the UPS store. It says, awaiting customer. So all this delay that we chatted with Anthony in the car there a little bit, we got him all settled with his node. And I'm going to go pick up this, I think it's the station GT that came today. I'll be very curious how that's going to work out.
Yeah, me too. Let me know right away for testing purposes and all that. I'm actually interested in that, but basically for the power out, but yet to be determined. Looks like a nice unit too, so whether I want to take a stab at trying to power that outside, if it's worth the difference or not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think we're not going to know until I can either like temporarily put it outside or I can get into my attic, so we'll see. So I don't know how well it's going to do in a window, for example, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, when you had the other one in the window, it wasn't terrible, you know, so it'll be worth trying.
Yeah, I just want to get that Macomb one, that Macomb node on the fringe. Like, it goes from fair to poor signal, and I never get a good.
Yeah, it's wonky to me, too. I get fair, good, and poor. And it seems random to me, but I should start jotting notes of time of day and weather conditions. But it's all over the map. And I can trace route sometimes, and once in a while I can't trace route it. So, I don't know.
Okay, then it's not just me. It might be just something with that node. I don't know what kind of antenna, what his situation is, what side of the building it's on, but that one seems to always pick up traffic between me and you. I'm wondering if it's causing more harm than good, because that, you know, it won't see you unless, I'm not sure how that all works. I think it's like, oh, and I know this is the better path, so I'm going to take that or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know, but I wish it was a little more stable. But let's see what the Station 2 does with it, and we'll go from there. And I may end up getting the Station 2 as well at some point, and then maybe we can actually find out what he's got there and more details with it, too. So, anyway, pulling into the sub, I'll listen out, and we'll talk to you when you get home with it, and we'll play with it. KEADSI.
Alrighty, I'm getting in the bad signal area with the antenna compromised. Talk to you later. KFAS.
N-H-A-P-P. K-8-R-U-H. How you doing?
I am good. I just got another one of my projects done. I was somewhat distracted this morning, or just at lunch, but I'm getting things caught up.
Nothing wrong with that. Knocking those projects down. That's good.
And hopefully I get home. I should. I'm only into Cass and Grossbeck, or Cass and whatever. So, yeah, Cass and Grossbeck, I'll get home and back towards beautiful New Baltimore.
Work. Get home before the snow starts flying. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, Tom. I think he's at the end of his rope.
Certainly sounded like it, didn't it?
Yes, sir. So anyway, so we got that. I heard now they backed it down to 2 to 3 inches of snow, which is pretty good. It beats the original when I woke up and saw 7. 7 is not a good amount for the site of this state. We don't know how to deal with 7.
Yeah, that would have been a nightmare. I'm just hoping that it all falls before too late this evening and they have it cleared in the morning. I'm heading up north in the morning, not too early, but around 7:30, 8 o'clock, and would prefer to not have to drive in the snow all the way from down here to Gaylor. So, whatever. Even if it does, even if there is snow on the ground, we're still going. So.
Yeah, well, a lot of people. We've been fairly lucky with all of the snow as of lately. You know, we really haven't got much of anything, and so we've been good. Matter of fact, I think I was talking the other day, you know, even like another snowmobile company bit the dust. So, because of our mild winters. So I think we're due. We're definitely due.
Yeah, I don't think we've had any measurable snow yet this year. So, you know, to get 2 to 3 inches, I would consider us lucky that that's all we're getting.
Yeah, I agree. So what are you doing? You heading home?
What was that? What am I doing now, or what am I doing tomorrow when I'm heading up north?
No, I just asked if you were heading home now.
Yeah, I'm on my way home. I'm almost there. I got to log back on and work for a few more hours, and then the weekend will begin.
Yeah, I have to go to the office. That's my next thing. Bust out a few proposals for somebody, and then call it a day. Call it a weekend. Call it something. You know, just be done with it. So can't wait.
Did I hear Sean talking about you install car lifts or do something with car lifts, or was I hearing incorrectly?
No, that's what our company does, where you take it to car dealerships, all that stuff in the back room that gets your cars up and down. That's what we do. So in-ground, above-ground, scissor lift. Basically, if it's a car or a truck that needs to get in the air, that's what the products we sell. Certify, support, train, service, all of that stuff.
That's cool. Probably just another day for you, but that's an interesting thing to me. You know, obviously somebody has to sell them and service them and everything, but you know, it's not even on my radar of things that need to happen. So that's interesting.
Well, there's only two companies in southeast Michigan and three companies in the state that do it. So it's very nichey, but they do need a lot of attention, and they do break a lot. So both parts of it is good for our profitability or longevity. You know, A, minimum competition, and B, all of the service work that they break.
That would totally make sense, considering it's probably a huge safety issue if they break or aren't getting service. So I'm sure there's a lot of regulation around how often they're serviced and who's servicing them and how you're certified to service them and all that jazz. So I can imagine it's a rather lucrative, like you were saying, low competition business to be in.
Yeah, we got three guys that actually all they do for us is inspection. And they're treated like an elevator, so they have to get inspected every year, and they have to have a safety sticker on them every year. And it's not, nobody really ever enforces it unless something goes wrong, and then it's a big deal, especially if they have inspected. And a lot of liability as far as insurance companies goes with those things, believe it or not, because, you know, heck, you got 4,000-pound automobile above a guy's head. So they do have to have stickers on them. So we got three people that have gone to the sticker class, and all three of them, that's their job every day, just to put stickers on. So sometimes we make one out of them. We call them sticker salesmen, but they get kind of mad. But they do their job, you know, because they're hydraulic, and they have to have safety latches on them. They have to have a couple redundancies on them. They have to have a flow control valve in case a cylinder blows a line or something of that nature. So it's really, guys like us really wouldn't have a problem understanding them after a while. I mean, the technology hasn't changed in 30 years, but once you got a grasp on it, you pretty much know what to do with them.
Yeah, that would totally make sense. And like you were saying, I would imagine it's nobody cares until the unfortunate happens and somebody gets hurt, and then if it hasn't been serviced, it's lawsuit city.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of funny. There's some customers that really don't care, and there's customers that, most of the customers do it because they have to do it, and then there are some customers of ours that do it because they really do care, really care about their employees and safety and everything else like that. But the lion's share of them are in the, they do because they have to. So, and I'm not a big government regulation guy, but in this case, yeah, it needs to be done.
Yeah, I would imagine it's more probably something that is more enforced by an insurance company than state or government regulation, but, I mean, I could be wrong.
You know, that's a big driving force. You're correct there, because they do have annual, I forget the name of the insurance inspection company. There's a big one out of Ann Arbor that does all these random inspections. AEPA is what I think they're called. They're a private company that gets contracted by insurance companies to go inspect all these businesses, not just my businesses, but all of these businesses, and they make sure that all of these stores, you know, even something simple as like a grocery store, they make sure that they're all compliant with the, you know, everything else, so many fire extinguishers here, the mats, the doors, you know, the fire exits, all that other stuff, and a lot of them are looking for an acceptable rating from KEPA, and then KEPA tells the insurance company, yeah, this guy plays nice, or yeah, this guy does. And that's with a lot of entities, not just so much with, you know, my little corner of the world.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And then everybody has an out because they got a third party that's certifying it. And, oh, gosh, what a crazy world we live in. But, yeah, it is super important that those are certified because, like you said, a $4,000 car above you is a deadly weapon. You don't want to mess with it, that's for sure.
No, and a lot of it, too, is, you know, like the safety locks. And then for a while there, the safety locks were a pain in the butt. You had some of the end users that were basically zip-tying the safety locks open because the safety locks would slow down for production, and a lot of these guys were paid on commission or productivity, whatever word you want to use. And so they would zip-tie the safety locks. So that was always kind of fun to watch some of the stuff we see, you know, with we actually do a safety video on that, and so over all these years of doing this, I have a lot of people that were bypassing them. We even had one, kind of funny, years ago, took a brake rotor and hung it on the safety lever. So that brake rotor was heavy enough to keep the safety lever open, and that was part of our presentation, you know, things to look for. Because, you know, if a line breaks or a cylinder leaks, she's coming down, and she got the little mechanical safeties in there, it'll stop it.
That is wild. People will do crazy stuff. Hey, but I just got back home. I got to run in and get some work done here. It was great talking to you. It was good meeting you in person at lunch, and hopefully we will catch up again soon. This is K8RUH. Now be clear on your final.
Very good. You have a great evening, and hopefully your snow will be gone by the morning, so you have a nice, safe drive. Thanks, Larry. I mean, N8KBP. KCAKGO, did you make it back? How far out are you?
I am at 696 in Grand River. So I'm up here in Farmington Hills. I'm probably hitting right outside the outer limits.
Okay. Well, you're in there, but I figured you were far away.
Well, when your guys heard me, I was right around the dump on 275, and then as soon as I passed through the dump area, then I lost all signal.
Very good. What radio are you using?
Right now I'm on Alinco, but I just got off the line with WATOY on 51.
Okay, yeah, I heard that call on 5-1, but I was talking on this one with Anthony, RUH, and then it scanned over there real quick, and I heard the JOY call. I figured somebody was talking to him.
Yeah, but I'll settle down. You know him very well.
Yeah, very good. We missed you at lunch. That's what I figured. You got pulled far, far away. You want to try 5-1? You should have 5-1. You still got the 445, the XPR radio hooked up?
Yeah, but maybe I'm just about to pull into the driveway here of the account. I'm going to try 5-1. I got it set on DTW, so I'll talk to
an LJ. All right, that's fine. Go do your job. You got to work. I'm going to pay the bills. So I thought maybe you were driving home.
Oh, I got 4 more hours left. But I'll probably get more into range when I get over by the office or something. We will find out. Hey, Jingle. Send me to your final. Jingle.
Nothing else to say. NAKPP. Oh, well.
KABB. K8, are you H? Just on school pickup duty here, making my way over to the school.
Yep, I'm just leaving Mount Clemens. I tried to look at all my available options. There was nothing quick. Either I had a good spot but no power, or power in a good spot but no hatch to get out, or no windows. Or, you know, or outside, and no power. Yeah, there was no solution. I didn't think there would be anything better than I got now, so that has to remain a windowsill deployment. I did put the little goofy mag mount in the window, so that should improve it a little. But so I'm heading home now. I got to make a stop at one of my sites to investigate a potentially bad door, see if I have to get service out on it. Other than that, it's the weekend, baby.
That it is. And I think they're calling for 4 inches of snow this afternoon into the evening, so it'll be a good low-key afternoon, which I enjoy.
Of course, there's a football game on tonight that's high priority for me. So that'll be my evening. Go home, get comfortable, see if I've got to run out for anything. Get prepared, then I'll be hunkering down for the game. That'll probably take me through the evening to bedtime. And then breakfast in the morning with the boys, and tomorrow's pretty clean. And I think Sunday and Monday. I think Sunday is some divisional football, some first-round playoff. Not too interested in that. Wouldn't mind watching that one on Monday night football. See who we're going to face next week. But other than that, just got a big game tonight. Other than that, the rest is all, whatever.
Very cool. Hey, I got to navigate the parking lot here. I'll catch up with you in a little bit. K8RUH.
Okay. Watch out for the bombs. W8FU.
KFACDG, Craig from Millington, listening.
not fire, but whatever. I was in Los Angeles yesterday. Just got back home last night. Pretty close to where the fires are.
They came through the fire and into the ice. I gotcha.
Yeah, I'd rather have the snow than the fire, though. So, anyways, just run some errands, get caught up. House is empty, you gotta go to stop at the grocery store, pick up some stuff, which I'm almost at. I just wanted to give a quick call out.
Yeah, I'm out here every day and this stuff, except for, of course, the weekend. But I don't get off until 6:30, but I'm like, I'm not gonna get stuck in this at 6:30.
Yeah, well, even this kind of driving in this weather, it's still better than the freeways in L.A. Bright and sunny, dry, and it's basically crawling.
Oh, I'm well familiar with L.A. I lived out there for 3 years. That's where I learned to drive. So, that's a piece of cake, this rush hour. There, you're doing 80 miles an hour with a bunch of cars around you, so it's one big block of traffic.
Well, my son lives out there, and sometimes I'd talk to him when I was driving to work. I mean, his rush hour is, you know, 5 to 10 miles an hour, stop and go. And I say, yeah, it's really heavy traffic here. I'm only going 75 today.
He lives in SoCal. What area?
If you know the area, Sherman Oaks, near Encino.
Sherman Oaks, Galleria. Oh, yeah, thanks. There in Encino, Pasadena every so often, but I was more south, Alameda, Wilmington, Redondo Beach was my big hangout. I lived in, on the county strip over by Torrance, worked for the city of Torrance.
Yeah, they could almost walk to that Galleria, but whatever. But their house is like a mile away from the edge of the evacuation zone right now. Hopefully it will stay that way. So, alright, this is the market. Nice talking to you, Tom. We'll catch you later. 73, be safe, be over here.
73, drive safe. Enjoy shopping. KKKK2.
N8CLH is mobile and monitoring.
N8CLH from N8DBF.
Hey, N8DBF, N8CLH. You out here in this snow?
Yep, I actually just pulled out of my office and slid all over the place. I kicked on the four-wheel drive for the first time this year. How about you?
Yeah, same. Davidson's pretty nasty right now, so even more so bumper to bumper than usual.
I'm down here in Sterling Heights on Hall Road, and it's, I got a feeling I'm going to have to try to find a back road here, because it's the same thing. Doesn't look like it's moving it fast, if at all, and, I got to make it kind of towards where you're at. I live in Elmont.
Okay, I'm in, Redford, driving from, Davison and Mound area.
Oh, my bad. I'm thinking Davison, like, the city, not Davison Freeway.
No worries. I wasn't very specific on the location. Totally understandable.
So being that's a pretty heavy, heavily traveled area down there, you see any plow trucks yet? Because I don't see any, and it looks like these roads are untouched.
No, no plow trucks. Wayne County's pretty bad at it. Just gotta find the two tracks and go with it.
As long as I don't get rear-ended on Hall Road and I can make it to 53, I think I'll take it as a win.
Yeah, that'll be best bet. So far they had to close off Davidson and Conant area for, I'm not sure if there's an accident or something, but now I'm seeing more emergency lights going eastbound Davidson from Dexter.
Yeah, so you might be in for the long haul. Where'd you say you had to go?
Redford, 6 Mile Beach Daily area. It's not terrible, but with these conditions, it could definitely prolong the ETA.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I just put it in my GPS. 35-minute drive typically is now 47 minutes.
That is rough. According to the GPS, I got 24 minutes now, so that's not bad. As long as, you know, everybody else doesn't drive like idiots, should be fine.
Yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, the roads really aren't that bad. There's just, you know, it's Michigan. There's snow. Oh, my God. Which, I guess to give people some credit, we haven't seen a whole lot of it this year.
Yeah, if I had it my way, there'd probably be only about 3 weeks of snow, and that'll be only around Christmas and the New Year's, and I'm good on that, and it's CLH.
I said the same thing earlier, where I could do about, I don't know, 8 weeks of winter, and then it's spring again, or I don't really care how the rest of the year shakes out, I just only want 8 weeks of winter, and then the rest is, you know, summer and a long fall or a long spring or a longer summer. I don't care how it breaks down. Just this winter crap that lasts 6 months kind of wears on me. It's my 31st year in Michigan, and I'm getting sick of it.
Yeah, I hear you. It's I'm not a fan of the weather. I always get a little depressed. Not that I'm as depressed as others or nothing, but still no fun.
And the other thing, too, is it's always cold and it's never snowy, so if it's cold, I'd at least like to have some snow to do things outside rather than it just be a frozen wasteland, which it seems like it's been up until this point.
That is true. Here I am pulling over for more emergency lights. Had to pass an accident. Must have been a hit and run. Blocking two lanes of traffic going westbound Davidson, just east of Livernois. For anybody else that might be listening in, that's in the area.
Which, are you coming into the 2600 repeater then?
Yep, I do believe so.
Is this where you usually hang out? I don't know if we've ever talked before, recognize the call. My name's Dakota, by the way, NADDF.
I touch on this repeater a little bit. It's just closer to my job, and it reaches from work to home, so I figured it's not bad to try and talk to other people on this repeater. My name is Wade. It's nice to meet you, Dakota. I've talked to a few people, but yeah, I think it's our first interaction. You said your call was N8B as in boy, B as in Delta.
Flip-flop those. It's November 8th, Delta, Bravo, Foxtrot. So it's a vanity call. And, yeah, good to meet you too, man. I was going to say, I don't know how familiar you are with this network, but it's actually linked quite a bit. It's got a decent-sized footprint. I think it gets as far west as Lansing and as far north as Holly or Flint, maybe even further. So you're down there, but you're talking all over the place.
That is pretty impressive. This is one of the more active repeaters that I listen to. There's one in Southfield also that's pretty good, or Northville and Novi. But yeah, this is traffic pretty well. NHCLH.
Yeah, I don't know what your commute is or what time, but typically in the morning we're on here driving in from about 7 to 7:30, and then depending on the day, usually between 4 and 5, there's people around. So if you're ever bored, we're usually out here, and yeah, there's a good amount of people that actually use this system, which is good. We've got some new hams in the area, so it's good to see that the repeaters are being used.
I am too a new ham. I just got my license back in, I think, October, and then I put in for my call, which was my grandfather's about 20 years ago. And I got that approved back in November, so I'm still learning all this. Oh, another accident. I-96 westbound in the local lanes, just east of Southfield Freeway, or I'm sorry, Grand River Avenue.
Well, congrats, and that's actually really freaking cool that you were able to get your grandfather's call.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I got interested back when I was in middle school, but it was pretty intimidating. The lessons that I was learning, I couldn't understand it, and then got into GMRS back in September, and so that kind of like sparked my interest again all over. So it would have been cooler if my grandfather was still around, so I got someone close by to teach me a few things more. But I'm really blessed to be able to have this call now. So I feel like if he was ever not resting peacefully, he can now.
Yeah, no doubt about that, man. That's like the stories you read about, like, why the, I think it's the AWR or FCC, there's, like, priorities of calls and things like that for SKs, and that's awesome that you got that. So you're fresh then. Did you get tech and general, or did you start with tech, or where are you at with that?
Just the tech. I took the general right after the tech with no studying, and I just saw that marker go like crazy. So I did some studying for general. I had originally planned on taking the test next week with the Livonia Club, but I don't think I'm ready for it. I've been using a ham radio prep, their app, and it's been helpful, but I'm like halfway through the lesson, and I'm not comfortable with some of the math, so I'm going to take some more time to study before testing again. So I do plan on getting my general.
No, that's actually really smart. That way you could just go in there, take it, and be done with it instead of having to retest. That was my biggest regret, was I didn't even try to take general when I got tech, because I, for some reason, had it in my brain. I had no interest in getting general, but yeah, once you get into that, man, that is a whole other world. So enjoy your tech license, enjoy the repeaters and UHF, VHF. There's plenty of stuff to keep you busy with that. But, yeah, if you're using, I did the same thing. I don't know if it's ham, it was hamstudy.org. I don't know if that's the same thing or not, but that's what I did. I just did the flashcards and the practice quizzes, and then when I was, you know, scoring 80 or more on those, I moved on to the practice test, and by the time I was taking the practice test, I was getting, you know, 90 to 95%. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to take the test now.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's, I can't really learn that way, but there's ham radio prep. It's got, like, lessons, like, you can read about it, and then there's also a video, too, for each lesson. I found that extremely helpful for the way that I learned. And it was, I found it on Facebook. It, like, just popped up, and I was like, oh, let me look into this. So now I'm trying to get, like, other family members to get into this, too, that, that's not into it yet. I got an uncle that is, but he's in Missouri, so maybe eventually when I get general, maybe I could get with him on some HF bands, other than using Echo Link or whatever else.
Everyone learns and studies differently, so do whatever works for you. I don't know. I don't know if I have the full comprehension of what I read and what I learned. I just have good memory, so I kind of just burn through the flashcards and then memorize the answers, which probably not the right way to go, but I looked at it as it was a license to practice and a license to learn rather than, you know, it's not like a driver's license where you probably need to know how to do these things. But yeah, cool, whatever works for you, man. General is a really good time, and I think I'm pretty positive I'm the only AM in my family, so I don't think I'm convincing anyone else to get their license, but the fact that you got an uncle in another state, you guys will most likely have no issues making contact.
Yeah, I think I'm also making an excuse to push off testing for general, just because I know I'm going to get excited and want to dump some money into another transceiver, you know, got to get the HF rig, the antenna, the coax, power supply, you know, I just pulled a lot of money on the mobile radio and the UHF VHF for a base unit as well, so I'm just like, I need to stack some money back up before doing it, because if I test and pass, I'm going to want to jump in and right away, and I'm sure my wife wouldn't be too happy about that.
I was the same way. I didn't want to pass because I knew I wouldn't have the discipline to not buy a radio. And sure thing, I passed my general and ordered an ICOM 7300 the same day. But, yeah, there's nothing cheap about HF. I think doing drugs would probably be cheaper, but it's way more fun. I was going to ask you, what are you running for mobile? Because you sound pretty darn good.
Thanks. I got the Yaesu STM 300 DR. I have a 500 for a base unit. Thought about getting another 500 for the mobile, but like I said, cost, didn't want to spend as much.
Both solid choices. I had a 300 as a base station, and I really enjoyed it. That was the first radio that I set up to do the IFS stuff. I don't know if you've dabbled in that yet or looked at the Arrow Yagi antennas, but that's a whole other avenue you can go down with UHF, VHF. I had a 500. It's actually back at Yaesu for the second time in the 45 days of ownership. So I just got a... So it's a bummer. I'm hoping they just replace it now that it's been back twice, but I do not have it in my possession anymore.
Wow, that's super irritating. The second time you had to send it, send it in to get work done?
Tell me about it. Yeah, so I bought that radio specifically because it had a speaker in the head. That's, I mean, legitimately the only reason why I bought it. And for some reason, whenever the backlight brightness is set to medium or low, there's this horrible high-pitched squeaking, hissing, I don't know how to describe it, noise that comes out of the head, whether it's on receive, whether it's an APRS beacon, whether it's just the beeps from going through the menu, like any time that speaker is activated when the brightness is set to low or medium, it sounds like a squeaking car bell, honestly. When it's on full brightness, it's fine, but I mount my radios above my mirror, so when I'm driving into work in the morning with a tinted windshield and tinted mirror or tinted windows, it's just one big glare and I can't see anything, so I always run my stuff as low as I can get it. And sent it in, they said they replaced the power amplifier and it was fixed, yada, yada, yada. Well, I got the radio back after I detailed everything and explained how to replicate the issue, yada, 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 and it was on max brightness. So as soon as I mounted it back in the truck and I put it in medium and low brightness, the issue is still there, so... sent it back to them, and I called them yesterday, asked for an update, haven't heard anything. I emailed them last week and asked for an update, and haven't heard anything. So, not a great experience with that radio so far, but I've got tons of buddies in the area that are using that radio, and they absolutely love it, and I'm sure sure if mine worked right, I would also love it, so just patiently waiting for it to get back, and that's probably going to get sold.
Are you going with the thing?
I don't even have the damn thing. It's just a bag of issues.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that. KKKKO. Who else they got out there?
This is NHCLH. Was that Cujo out there as well?
Yeah, that's me. I'm out here. Where am I at? Metro and 94 in this swap.
Tom, where were you at for lunch?
I had my head stuck in a ceiling tile over at FedEx and on a... over in Belleville, and I left there, and I had to go to VF and Farmington Hills and stick my head in the ceiling again.
Well, maybe next time. At ATLH, go ahead, pick it up.
You know, when you had mentioned about the speaker being in the head unit of the 500, I just thought of the expenses that I took in fact extra for the 300 was the external speaker and mic line extension or cord, whatever you want to call it. And I think if I were to have just gone ahead and did the 500, the cost would have probably just been the same. So looking back, I'm feeling like a clown.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It depends on what you're going for, but, I don't know. I think my 300 was great, so I can't say anything, but, and then I don't know where you got your line extension for the mic, but that is just a, RG12, extension. You can pick those up on Amazon, so I don't know if you bought the Yaesu one or what, but, and then if you want to disconnect the head and remotely mount that, that's just an Ethernet cable, so... I'm not sure if you knew that or not. Maybe Tom can make you one if you need one.
Oh, all right. I ordered straight from DX Engineering. It is Yaesu, but I got my wife calling me. So I'm going to let you guys go. And ATLH is clear, saying three guys. Safe travels.
All right, man. Good talking to you. Good to meet you. I hope I hear you out here soon. NATLH from NAGF73. KCAKGO, where you at? You said you're at 94? Stony? Where? Metro?
Where am I at? I think I just passed over Metro Parkway. Taking it slow and low. I'm not taking any chances.
Well, that's very smart of you. I actually just reminded myself to turn four-wheel drive off because it looked down at 255.
I put that transfer caseless on it.
Whoops. It's all right. I don't like this truck. I want to get rid of it.
Do you have auto four-wheel drive on that thing? What is it? Is it a Dodge or is it a Chevy?
It is a 2024 1500 Silverado with a 5.3, and I have it in auto now, which, you know, I think the transfer case is still engaged in auto, so I probably should just bump it into two-wheel drive.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. No way, it's the 2500s you gotta deal with. Both my kids had 2500s, but they were the 2004 with the cat eyes, and what happens was the chain gets kind of sloppy in the transfer case, and then it just files a hole. And then you know you're spraying trans fluid everywhere.
Yep. I'm hoping I won't have this truck long enough for that to be an issue. Also in Michigan, this is the first time I've put foil legit, although, yeah, this is the first time I've actually put this truck in a 4-high. So, and it's got 12,000 miles on it. So, next truck's going to be a 2500, I think. That or a Hummer, I haven't decided yet.
But the H3s, and those are just inline 5s, and my daughter says, no. And
The other reason why they have F-150s is because I got a good deal on them. Really good deal. Out of that, they both get another 2,500.
Big trucks are way better. I had a F-350 with a power stroke, and I loved that truck, but it was a Ford money pit, so I ended up dumping it after about a year. And I haven't been happy with anything I've had since, so I don't know what the step is. I still got about 2 years left on this lease before I can really do anything, but it's either going to be a Hummer EV truck, because those leases are finally tanking, and I would never buy an EV, or it's going to be a 2500 Chevy.
Yeah, I would go with the 2500. Like I said, my kids had the 2004s, and they both liked them, but it was time to move on. They were getting high up there in mileage, and my son said we had to replace the whole bed. He had the 8-foot box, and that thing was rusted out, so we had to put a new one on it. And then he basically got rid of it because it blew a brake line. Sold it to a farmer for couple grand, and then he's got a 2017 F-150 Sport with the biggest engine that they put in it. But I know it's a Coyote, but I think it's a 5-liter. And then my daughter's got a 2018 F-150 Lariat with the same motor in it, and they both love their Fords.
Yeah, those 5-liters. My buddy had a 2021. And Ford ended up buying it back. I don't know if it's just my buddies around me, but we've all had horrible, horrible, horrible luck with Ford. So we've all kind of washed our hands of those and walked away. Everyone's driving a Chevy now. But except for my dad, he still loves that damn Tremor he's got. But it's also still new. It's a 2020 with 36,000 miles on it. But what he won't tell you is that thing's been in the shop at least once a year for something major.
A co-worker of mine had an F-250 with the DEF in it, and he had nothing but problems with it, though. It just kept getting clogged down too much. It was a nice truck, an 8-foot box, and it was a big truck, but the filters and stuff just got clogged too fast. So he turned around and went back to his Ram 1500.
Yeah, that's what I had. I had a 2016 F-350 Platinum Power Stroke crew cab long bed. It was like 22 feet long. The thing was massive. I bought it in 2020, so it was 4 years old. It had 77,000 miles on it. By that winter, which it was only, I think I put 4,000 miles on it, by that winter, the DEF system went. The heater went. So the first time it dropped below freezing, the truck went in the limp mode because the DEF heater didn't work. I took it to Ford. They told me $1,500 to repair it. I said thanks, but no thanks. They took it to a shop I know, had them delete the thing. And then it ran great for a while. And then I was pulling my camper back home from Bell Tire or Discount Tire, whatever the hell it is, Chesterfield. Put new tires on the camper, made the final turn to get on my street, and lost power steering, truck said low power, and then died, and then didn't start again, and my CP4.2 pump grenaded, so that cost me about $11,000. New fuel lines, new pump, new injector, you know, the whole nine, new filters, and then had to drain the tank. It was a great time. And then got the truck back. I didn't even put a tank through it, maybe 200 miles, and my water pump went. And that cost me another $1,200. So as soon as I got it back from that, it was up for sale.
That sounds like a fun time. Well, there's an 8-foot box. You can put a 10-pointer in there once you get one.
I just realized I was still on Warren. I'm at 34 and 53. Yeah, I love that truck. I mean, there was nothing I didn't like about it aside from the fact that it was a money pit and unreliable. I think the problem was the truck lived in Macomb Township its whole life, so it probably always had crappy diesel, and I guarantee you whoever drove it didn't maintain it because they didn't use it like a truck. So it was just putzing around town all the time, so regens weren't happening. Diesels like to be driven hard and worked, so if it's not doing that, it's not healthy. But the cool thing about that bed was I could fit anything I wanted in it, but the bad thing was if I put, like, a stroller in the bed and I didn't strap it down and I hit the brakes too hard, I'm climbing in a bed with a hard top on it.
Oh, the days of having young kids.
Oh, I'm in the thick of it.
My son's in that stage right now. The girl that he, his girlfriend, has a 6-year-old, 6 or 7-year-old, and he's just living the time of his life right now, having a kid.
Yep, there's nothing like it. That's, my oldest isn't even 5 yet, so I've got a little, she's getting better, she's starting to be helpful, but we had a whoopsie and hit the reset button, so just when I thought things were going to get easier, we had a newborn, which he's turning 1 on Sunday. So, I don't know. I'm not wishing any of it away. I'm soaking it all in and enjoying every minute of it, but I definitely could use a break, and it's exhausting.
Mine's the reverse way. My son was a oops, and my daughter was a lot of work. A lot of work. Like 6 months worth of work to get a daughter. So I feel you there.
Pregnancy is an insane thing, an insane concept, and the whole thing still blows my mind to this day that we're like some weird aliens and how it all works. But, yeah, I got buddies that are the same way. They either had a hell of a time with the first one, and then it was bang-bang for the next one, or, you know, they had a whoopsie, and then now they can't have another one. And that was my really close buddy. They just had their second kid after years of trying.
Yeah, my son and his girlfriend, they're working on that right now. They want one of their own, so they're going full tilt on it. I gave them some advice, being the father that I am, and they're getting mad. But I said, my son's 32, my daughter's 27. And if you got a girl, and just give you a little bit of advice, if she starts getting really interested in horses, yeah, that sticks with them.
That's like my boys playing hockey. I thought about it, I'm still thinking about it, and it's like, man, that sounds expensive.
Hockey rates up there with equestrian and dance classes too. I was dumping out $200-$300 a month for dance classes for 10 years. So that's just for the classes. That's not for all the outfits.
Yeah, so there's that, and then there's the extracurriculars, which I'm hoping I can get mine involved with, which I'm an avid hunter. I love technology, so I've got the computers and the games and the drones and all that crap. So either I start hiding it now and they don't know I have it, or I'm going to be buying triples of everything.
Yeah, I won a drone last Christmas party. Like $300 is right underneath the legal limit. And well, that thing, I can't fly around or fly it that much around Memphis because of all the power lines and the trees. I only have it set up to 100 feet, but it does up to 400. But I'll probably play with that in the spring on the park lot somewhere. So I got that. I got a little couple mini drones that are indoor, some helicopters. And yeah, I work on computers too. Rebuilt two laptops not too long ago.
I tried the helicopter thing. I don't know if you've ever seen those 3D helicopters, but I had one, and it was a lot of fun, but I knew every time I flew that thing, it was probably going to break because I wasn't that good at it. The FPV stuff, a little more hardy, and I got good at that, so I could fly those without worrying about it, but the helicopters are sweet. I wish I was better at it because they're, in my opinion, they're way cooler to fly and way harder to fly. But what kind of drone did you have? Because what do you have? I've got a Mavic Air 2 that I almost killed this weekend, or last weekend. My buddy and I were putting out my long wire, and it was like 30-mile-an-hour wind, and it was nighttime, and we thought it was a good idea to pull the rope with the drone over the tree, which usually works, but not when it's that windy. And I don't know how it didn't crash, but it went through the tree 3 times and managed to upright itself and hover, and I was able to land it.
I think it's a sand trap. something like that. I forgot where they bought it from, but it was like the top line model. It was like $300. I hooked my phone up to it. I can take pictures, take video. I got a SD card in it for storage. Got the piece. It's got the pan tilt. Well, not pan tilt. It's got the tilt up and down and the zoom on it. I had one that says take off, and I take off about 6 feet a year. Zip it up, zip it down. I think it's called a speed train.
Tell you what, when I got my first one, it was like a toy novelty. Look at how cool this is, because that was right when they were becoming a thing, really. My first drone was a DJI Phantom 3. And now that I have a smaller, you know, more portable setup, I find uses for that thing all the time, whether it's scouting property, aerial pictures for certain things, inspecting the roof, whatever it may be, putting an antenna up. They're very handy to have, especially when it's cold out.
Yeah, this one's just a toy. I mean, it's got all the features on it, but follow me on it. But I got some flying helicopters. I had those little ones, and I kept crashing them. I had a little drone. I kept crashing that. This one here, it's got the gyro in it, and it has GPS, so I got to set it up. Squatting a little bit, and then it loses the traction, but also to the rear-wheel drive.
your rear end spinning out all the time. It's kind of a thing of the past that you got a normal size box, which I hope to have in my next truck. You can't fit anything in these dumb things.
Yeah, the kids keep theirs pretty weighted down. I mean, even though they're aluminum bodies, they're still... They got some big tread on their tires. My daughter's got 18. My daughter has F250 tires on hers, and my son's got, you know, the standard thick tires on his. His are 17s, hers are 18s. So they fit a little bit differently, but they got good traction in them.
I almost just got into a nice three-car collision because the guy on the SP50 doesn't know how to drive.
I'm just trying to gain traction from the red light.
I don't miss those days. My last company car was a newer Trailblazer. It was like a 2022 front-wheel drive. It was the LS model. Didn't even have cruise control. That thing was a nightmare. And all, like, all my tools were in the back, so I had my pack out. Probably 500 pounds of tools, parts, and all kinds of gear and crap. And just did not want to move ever.
It's the same with this thing. I mean, it's only rated for so much weight in the back, but I got that whole Adrian Steele rack back there. Then you have the batteries, and you have the drawers, and all the tools. It all sits in the back. So it's all the weights back there. I wear out rear tires faster than I do the front tires.
Same here. By the time I rotated them, I'm like, how the hell does this happen? And then I started thinking about it. I was like, oh yeah. You know, there's essentially three passengers sitting in the trunk.
Well, just one pack of 17 amp hour batteries, which is, there are two of them. You know, that's 15 pounds right there. And you get three cases of those, that's 45 pounds. And you get five things of 7 amp hour batteries, so that's another 100 some odd pounds. So yeah, all the weight gets squatted back there, and then the tires wear out.
Yep, I hear you, man. But, alright, I'm going to clear out of here. I just, why is my wife's car running? Just turned on my street, and I'm pulling to the house, so safe travel, and I got to catch you out here this weekend. Clear up yours. I'm ACBS.
Glad you're home safe and avoided all the idiots. So enjoy your weekend. 73 from NEDBF from KJO.
W-A-T-A-P.
W-A-T-A-P.
KZ8JF, mobile.
KF8AYL, monitoring. KF8AYL is monitoring.
KF8CBG monitoring from the Mesa repeater.
KF8AYL.
AYL, this is KF8CBG. Just curious if you can hear me, if I'm hitting the repeater. I think I'm having difficulty this evening.
I hear you. There's no real problems. You sound pretty loud and clear. Your audio is a little low maybe, but it's perfectly fine.
All right, that's good to hear. So where are you transmitting from?
I am in Birch Run. My name's Ken here. I'm on the BERT repeater.
Okay, we're not too far away from each other. My name's Craig. I'm calling from Millington.
All right, yeah, Millington. So which repeater are you coming in on?
I'm using the Mayville repeater.
All right, copy that. Yeah, no, you're coming in loud and clear, no problems.
Yeah, I was curious. I was trying to transmit GMRS earlier, and no one could hear me, so I think I'm in the weather struggling to hit the Mayville repeater with the GMRS, so I'm glad to hear I can still hit it. I'm using a little HT right now instead of my base station.
Well, I'm on the GMRS, too. I haven't heard any other stations trying to call.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I was going to go down and try my base station, but I just didn't feel like going down into the cold basement.
Well, they have the Mayville GMRS one that's linked into the rest of them, but sometimes those links go dead for short periods of time. So who knows, but I was listening to the Saginaw GMRS, which is what I usually am tuned into, so I haven't heard any other stations calling on that one.
Yeah, that was something I was going to ask if anybody's in the know. I thought there was one in Bay City linked to the MIH station, and they pulled that one off the website, I believe. At least there used to be one on the website. You know anything about that?
Well, there's a Bay City one. If you're saying it's not linked anymore, then that would be news to me. I haven't looked recently. You can usually go to, for the GMRS side, you can go to MIA.systems, and that'll pick on the Allman thing, and that'll usually tell you which ones are actually linked.
Yeah, I'll have to check that again, because I'm pretty sure the last time I checked that wasn't on there, and I haven't heard any chatter about it, so that's why I was kind of curious.
Well, they put that one in there, I know it was like a year and a half, 2 years ago or something like that, and it's at the time, it was like, oh, yeah, it doesn't get out too far because it's not up high enough, and the antenna is going to go up higher at some point to put it out more, but I don't know that ever happened. And whatever, I'm sure I'm not complaining, but
I know I broadcasted on the Bay City last time I went up to the UP just a couple of months ago, and it was linked in. It was linked in back then. I really haven't looked to see if it's still linked in. Okay, yeah, that's good to know. The last time I went to the UP and we hit the Zilwaukee Bridge, I was able to hit the Mayville repeater and broadcast from the Mayville repeater all the way from the Zilwaukee Bridge, which I thought was quite the haul. Well, that Mayville one's a lot newer than the Bay City one, so on the GMRS side. Okay, yeah, I'm relatively new to GMRS. I started GMRS this summer and then got my ham technician license a couple months ago, so I've got more experience on GMRS than I do the ham stuff, but everybody I've been talking to has been really nice and really helpful, which is I've been really appreciative about. Yeah, I'm fairly new too. I'm KF8AYL, and I got my ticket last February or March? I can't remember. I took the test in February. I got the license in March. But I've not run into any bad actors on the radio here. So unlike Facebook, it's a good place to be. Yeah, this is KF8CBG. My wife kind of laughs when she eavesdrops on me. She says, ham radio and GMRS is Facebook for old guys, which I think that isn't fair, but sometimes she's not wrong. Well, one thing I've learned is the wife is never wrong. Yeah, that's the truth. I try not to let her know it, though, if I can help it. That's all she has to believe is that you're not wrong. It's all right. Yep, and when she says jump, you ask how high. Yeah, that can be, that's for sure. Well, sir, I'm going to head in here for the evening. This is KF8AYL. My name's Ken. I'm in Bird's Run, and I'll be clear on your final. All right, Ken, it was good talking to you. This is Craig, KF8CBG from Millington on the Mayville repeater. Have a good night.
Did you order this snow so there's no breakfast tomorrow morning?
No, I did not. And I still plan on going to breakfast because after that I got to take my wife's car out, take it to the shop, and replace the EGR valve on it.
Oh, yeah. There'll definitely be breakfast tomorrow. I only know of one person that's not coming. because their car is not built for this kind of snow. And I talked to Gino, the guy that has a little hot spot office set off to the side. Yeah, he drives a small little two-door, and it's built low to the ground. And he has yet to put the proper tires on it for winter. So he says he's not going to skate his way out there.
You know, it's not too bad in the tank that I drive. I just put it in four-wheel if it gets a little slippery. And with this traction control system, it doesn't allow me to swing the back end and have much fun. So I'm safe.
Yeah, he's got some kind of like grooved racing slicks on his. And I mean, it's not even a racing rain tire that would have the capability of maybe going through some snow. Rain tires in racing, they tear up if they're on dry roads, so that's why he's got these competition tires on there, and he just hasn't put a set of anything on it yet for winter, and it's his own fault. Plus, he's had some issues with his health and so on and so forth, but yeah, I was talking to him earlier, and he said he wasn't even going to try to risk it coming in from with some Novi area. So I said, no, don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, I put my snow tires on early this year because of that screw in the other tire. But, yeah, I usually get it done by middle of December, if not the end of November. Because if I don't, I know I'll get stuck in the snow somewhere. But it is what it is, and it's better to be safe than sorry, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not hearing a lot of accidents out here in Oakland County. I've seen a lot on the internet about accidents in Macomb County, so I don't know how bad it is, really, but or whatever, but the Oakland County side here is pretty quiet tonight. I got the southern half of the county and on, so I'm not listening up like Clarkston and towards the north, but I don't know how bad the roads are, but I'm not really hearing a lot about a lot of accidents anywhere, really. Just some minor fender benders, but they're mainly in Macomb County, not so much in Oakland City.
Yeah, well, being out here driving amongst these morons, I can tell you, there's a little bit more traffic on the east side of Macomb County than on the west side of Macomb County. But it is not as heavy as it was. I think people made it home from work and stayed home.
Joe's got a four-wheeler, and you know, a four-wheel drive SUV, and she's here now. And she just crashed a little while ago. But she's got to go to Orchard Lake in the morning, and I'll be at breakfast. And I trust her driving, but, you know, and I just told her to take her time and so on and so forth. Yeah, we didn't go up to Chesterfield. We're here in Madison Heights, so it is what it is. And, the snow has lightened up, but I think this is the first time I've seen snow on my campus here, where actually the grass is now fully covered. The previous whatever snows we had didn't even really fully cover the grass, so this will be nice to see what it's going to look like in the morning.
Yeah, well, I know when I left the house we had about 3 inches, because I had gone out and done the snowblower thing one time, and then I decided I needed to contact the guy that has the shop that I need to work in tomorrow, so he wasn't answering his phone, so I found him, and he goes, oh, shit, I left it at the shop. So anyways, I got a hold of him, and then after breakfast, I'll hook up with him and fix Mama's car.
Okay, well, you got your day planned out. One thing I got to do, and I doubt if I'll get to it this weekend, I got to do laundry. I haven't done laundry since before Christmas, and I realized, you know, I haven't been home much for the Christmas holidays. I still have, I put my last set of bed sheets on the bed like back a week ago Monday, and I haven't been home much, and I haven't been sleeping in my own bed. I if I've been home, I sometimes will sleep on the living room floor. That helps my back. So I've probably only slept in this bed like maybe 5 or 6 times in the last 2 weeks. So I was looking at laundry and stuff like that. And I said, gee, this is my last set of bed sheets. I got to do laundry now for sure. Plus clothes and everything else. So, yeah, that's what I'll be doing starting Monday next week. After I get out of my Monday morning chiropractic appointment, it's just going to be nonstop laundry. And then I'm leaving Wednesday for Daytona. So I fly out Wednesday night for Daytona, and I'll be doing back and forth for the next 2 weekends after that. So fun.
Well, hopefully it warms up a little bit. I know some of the guys down there were complaining it was getting down into the 50s down there in Florida. So hopefully it warms up a little bit for you. But, yeah, I know. I'm getting low on socks, which means Mama needs to do laundry this weekend.
Yeah, yesterday I adjusted my phone to start tracking the weather down there. And even though the race is 2 weeks from now, the weekend of the 25th and 26th, the roar or the final practice session and the setting of the balance of performance and all the other rules and regulation crap that's going on is the final shakedown test next weekend, and the race is a week after that. So it's basically I'm down there for 2 4-day sessions, maybe a fifth on the second one, depending how fast I can get out of there going home. But, it's the first race of the year. It's a 24-hour event. They've been doing testing all winter. It's just a matter of the final adjustments and tweaking in next weekend and so on and so forth. I don't really have to be down there, but I've been away for 2 years, so I need to get updated on stuff for myself, and that's about it. But, yeah, it's going to be a lot of work, but, you know, I'll try to squeeze in a little bit of fun.
Yeah, well, I texted his father-in-law, because he's down in Tennessee, asked him if he was worried about this snow, and he goes, nope, I'm in New Mexico. So, yeah, because I guess the south end of this is supposed to hit Tennessee. And we don't know. They say up to 4 inches. I saw about 3 about 2 hours ago, so whatever. I'll get out, shovel in the morning, and then come to breakfast. I'll be hungry.
Yeah, forgot to mention when I did start checking the weather on Thursday, it was like upper 50s, low 60s, so like a 58 to 62 range, and it only gave me a 10-day forecast, so that goes into this weekend and next weekend. And then the race is the following weekend, so I don't know how it's going to be. But we'll race in anything as long as the track doesn't flood. And that happened, I think it was 2019. The race had to be cut short and eventually stopped because they have a racetrack there where they race, you know, the big Daytona 500 for NASCAR. The track actually flooded and on the road course portion, and they had to just cut the race off, which is the first time ever that, to my knowledge, that's ever happened. So the weather is what it is. But, all right, well, we'll see you in the morning. I just, like I said, I heard you in there, and I just thought I'd say hello, and, you know, just be careful tonight and be careful tomorrow morning on the roads. We don't want any more scratches on your truck.
It's not me that I'm worried about. It's everybody else, but, yeah, I try and take the safer routes. I do the mile roads instead of 696 because people get stupid out there. And I just give them room. I'm in no hurry. Anyways, yep, we'll see you in the morning, and I will definitely talk to you later. KF8, CWF, clear on your final.
That call side mistake was a legitimate one. Just think about me and mine being so close to one another, and I set it up that way with my vanity call, and there's many a times I'm still screwing it up. All right. I even got, you know, I'm looking at my radio, and it's got, you know, this radio's got the call sign for ham, and then my identical radio's got the call sign for GMRS. So if I know I'm on the right radio, all I got to do is look down at the phone and say,
the radio and says, oh, yeah, W8RCY, yeah, okay, this is the one I'm supposed to use on this radio. And I still screw it up. All right, I'll see you in the morning, W8RCI, Y. I can't even talk, I'm so slap happy. All right, see you in the morning, W8RCY.